Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
I'm Carrie Meyer, and I live in Oakland, California, and I serve St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church in San Francisco, and I am here at Holden to share the philosophy and theology and a skill set for paperless song leading. And I kind of stumbled into the really old art of getting communities to sing without having sheet music or a hymnal or even instruments through an organization working across the continent now called Music That Makes Community. Music That Makes Community started out of St. Gregory's, the church where I work, but I kind of ran across them in 2012, and at first was a participant in their workshops where folks can learn the embodied, kind of vulnerable leadership skills that are helpful to get folks singing and to give them all the information that they need to make music together, information that we might otherwise get through sheet music, but sometimes paper isn't practical or useful to everyone. After a couple of those workshops, I was hooked. And so this week we're learning and practicing together what it looks like and feels like in our bodies to get folks singing. Singing music that is simple enough that you can do it without paper, but not simplistic. The part that I'm really looking forward to is our session on composing music for paperless singing. And the first time that it even occurred to me that folks write these kinds of tunes was at a Music That Makes Community workshop, where on the second or third day, they gave us some kind of basics about, like, what makes a song? What's the structure? What do you need to think about in terms of the words? What do you need to think about to make it singable? And how can you have fun with it? And I am not a trained musician. I'm in the category we call natural musicians. And both trained musicians and natural musicians are involved in Music That Makes Community. And I feel like there are some trained musicians involved in this work who just make it look like magic. Just magic, the music that they can coax out of a community. And I sort of feel like my role is to make it look like anybody can do it. Anybody can even write this music. I'm absolutely convinced of it because at that first workshop, we talked about what makes a song, and then they said, okay, you have 20 minutes. Here's some paper and a pencil. Go write a song. And come back, and in 20 minutes, you're going to teach it to everybody here. That Midwestern obedience thing kicked in for me, and I just said, okay, I'm going to go off and write a song. The song that I wrote as a complete novice that weekend ended up being useful to people, and folks are singing it in different denominations, in different circumstances. It ended up being handy, and it my own experience has convinced me that everyone, trained musicians, natural musicians, everyone has in them an actual song that God and God's people are waiting to hear. And we might not have the skills to write, you know, an opera or an entire liturgy, but anybody can write what we're sort of talking about as, like, holy ditties. And we can take them out on the streets. We can sing them in worship. We can sing them for fellowship. We can just sing them for the joy of singing together. And I think that that's kind of at the heart of this practice, is the joy of singing together. Because I think that in our culture, music and the leadership of music has become highly professionalized. And that's kind of a new thing, I think, in the human story, because music has always belonged to the people, and tradition has always been passed on orally from person to person, without any kind of expertise. And so it's not like this is new. This is not new. It's really old, but it can be renewed. And I think that that's what Music That Makes Community is doing now. And I think that's what we're doing here at Holden this week. Every time a group sings any song, it's completely new. It's different from any other time that it's been sung, just by virtue of who's in the room and what's in our hearts. And so I think it's a powerful community building tool. And I know that folks right now in this moment in our history who are in fact worshiping in interfaith communities, or going out into the streets with folks from other Christian communities, folks from other religious communities, they want music to be one of the tools of the work that we're trying to do to transform ourselves and transform our world. That folks could sing more than they're currently singing. And I think this is a great tool to help people do that. On Friday, so we've had the introduction, just the basics, how could you do this? How could you step in front of a group of people and teach them a song? And then the second session, what are these songs made out of, and how could you make one yourself? The third thing we're going to do together is have a musical test kitchen, where you either bring a song that you've learned from someone that you want to practice teaching, or you bring a thing that you're working on writing, and you let us all taste it, and we'll spice it up, give you some feedback, and it's a really rewarding experience, because this kind of composition is targeted toward writing a song that you could teach to a community paperlessly. There's like parameters, right? There's like a limit to length, to how many words. And there are things that support the singers that you have to keep in mind when you're writing something, like patterns, rhymes, repetition, structure. At the beginning of our composition workshop, we kind of just quickly review what are kind of like the five flavors that we notice songs come in that you can teach people paperlessly. There are simple melodies. There are canons or rounds. There are echo songs, where the leader and the community are singing exactly the same thing back at each other. There's call and response. And then there's layered songs, where one group of the community is singing some kind of maybe like an ostinato, and another group is singing like something that moves in parallel harmonies. And so those are kind of the five flavors. And so we talk about, when we sort of land on a text, we say, okay, what structure does this text want? And if you imagine yourself giving it to a community, what's going to make it easiest for people to sing? You know, for example, folks who want to write music to use in the liturgy. If you want to write a paperless sanctus to sing at communion, right? The holy, holy. That's a lot of words. And odds are you're not going to be able to do it in a round, right? Because that's just going to, like, people are going to lose their minds. But you could totally do that as an echo, because people could sing the entire text of the sanctus as long as you give them the lines and the phrases of music, and they just give it back to you, which makes something really beautiful. If you are writing something for a street march, you're also not going to write around, because if your folks are spanning a block, if you try to keep a canon together, everybody's going to go crazy. So there are things that work better other places. And there are places where you want to do layered music, or you want to do a canon because you want kind of that gratifying instant satisfaction of making complex music out of simple shared musical responsibility. So I think you have to kind of think about your people and your hope for that particular tune. In the composition workshop, we talk about some really basic stuff. We talk about what's the tempo you assume this text needs? What's the mode or the key that this needs. We talk about major triads. We talk about minor triads, which folks may have never heard of before, but they can completely do instinctively, you know, and we sing familiar songs and talk about what you hear in that and what makes it tasty, what was surprising, what makes it make sense. We talk about how musical phrases take you on a journey, but then usually bring you back home again. And in a paperless song, you got to do that pretty quick because you got like a minute. And so we talk about how to make a phrase that goes somewhere and then comes back again. And we talk about how leaps and steps and surprises help the word or words that you love most in the thing that you want folks to sing sparkle. And that's kind of the summary. That's mostly what we give folks. And then we have such musical instinct. And a lot of the people who kind of are drawn to this are folks who enjoy singing and have been singing or at least listening to people sing. And our instincts serve us pretty well. And it's such a small bite that you can manage it. You can chew on it and come up with something that'll feed people, you and everybody else. Well, and you know, it's interesting to hear you kind of talk about like that expression. And I imagine somebody trying to do that electronically, and that's going to take mad skills, right? And even if you're an instrumentalist, mm-hmm. to get to the point of skill where you can convey like the whole range of human emotion mm-hmm. with a clarinet, mm-hmm. that takes real skill.
Of course, yeah. Mastery.
But because this kind of song leading assumes the primacy of the human voice, uh-huh. mm-hmm. and because the trip from the human heart to the human voice is a short, short trip. People are already experts in expressing what is in their heart and their soul through just a couple inches, you know, up mm-hmm. from their heart. It comes out amazingly naturally, which is a gift, I think, both to the person who's feeling the music and having the opportunity to express the music and write it down, but also to the people who are hearing it. I really think that this kind of songwriting and song leading is, in its essence, just gift giving. It's amazing the shift in a community when you realize you can sing and see other people at the same time. You know, because when our eyes are kind of like fastened to the hymnal and we have this downward gaze, sometimes we forget that we're surrounded by all these other people and all these other voices and all these other stories. But when you don't have to hold anything in your hands, mm-hmm. you can make eye contact, which is kind of a stunning thing to do with a stranger while you're singing a lament or singing a right. prayer. Right. It is deeply incarnational in that we really become this sort of this unity, this body.
Yep. Yep.
And I think it's a lived experience of the priesthood of all believers, because everybody, when the leader kind of backs away and just hands the song over to the group, everybody becomes a leader. And it, you know, at Vespers last night, Paul gave us this layered song, and then he sat down. So how are we going to know how to end?
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, we're going to negotiate that. Like, together,
yep.
we're going to end this song. It's vulnerable and powerful, and I think it's theological. I think it shows us who we are.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information, or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.